Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Countess. I think I know everyone. I'll just say it anyways. My name's Susan, and we're glad that you're here today to worship the Most High God. So we'll start with a few notices. So is there anybody in the back that needs to find a seat? No? Okay. Now, I'm moving on to our call to worship. We're not going to put it up yet. Today, we're talking about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So the call to worship that came to mind through the Holy Spirit is the verse from a very well-known verse from Proverbs 3 about trusting in the Lord, because it ends with, "He shall direct your paths," or "make your path straight," depending on the version that you have. Did anybody have that say as their wedding verse? Or does anyone have this one up on their wall? Give me a little wave if you did, Anna. Yeah. I know it was my parents' wedding verse. Yeah, you too. Yes. So let's see if you know it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall make your path straight. Oh, you know it very well. So what do we trust in the Lord with? All our heart. And what do we not lean on? Our own understanding. And what must we do in all our ways? Acknowledge him, every decision, big or small. Make sure you're walking with him, especially the big ones. And he will make your path straight, or he will direct your paths so that you will have this sense as you're trusting in him that you know where you're going, that you're not just floundering along. So a lovely promise. So I'd like the music team, could they come up and everybody stand if you're able? Or worship the Lord from where you are, whatever position. And we'll say it together once everyone's in place. Thank you for that. So we're going to say that verse together, Jacob. And here we go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will make your path straight. Maybe that will be in your devotions today. It's Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6.
Thank you. Lord, thank you that you are the joy that reigns in our heart. And we pray that the joy that you give to us, that we can bring to others through the power of your Spirit and in us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to just reflect you and the joy that you place in us. Help us to reflect you at all times, especially when we come in contact with people, wherever we may be, Lord. And thank you for your Spirit, and thank you that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's continue to praise our God.
We're talking today about being a follower of Jesus and what that means, and we'll be looking at how Jesus called his first followers and what were his first followers called? Evie, do you know? Jesus' close friends, they were called his disciples. Well done. Do as I say, not as I do. You know, Jesus came to earth a couple of thousand years ago, a little bit more. And he chose some disciples, and he lived a perfect life, and he wanted his disciples to imitate him. That means do the things that he did, live the way that he did. And so all the things that he asked of them, Jesus did as well. So this was never the case with Jesus and his disciples. When Jesus said, "Do as I say," he also meant, "Do as I do." No trickery. So that's something that we can keep in mind today. That he, if we feel he's asking us to do something, or if his word says something and we need to do it, we know he's going to be with us. We can trust in him, as we read earlier, and he will make our path straight. So now we're going to have a reading, a story from the scripture. So I'm going to have a picture of some of the disciples that were fishermen for us all to look at. Peter. There we go. Ooh, there's a lot of fish there. Wow. So Carol's going to come up, just come up to the lectern and read this story to us from, is it from Luke, I think, yeah.
One day, Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd of people started to gather around him. He saw some fishermen nearby who were cleaning and mending their nets. So he climbed into one of their boats. He asked one of the men, whose name was Peter, to put the boat out a little way from the shore. And Jesus sat in the boat, teaching the people. When he had finished teaching, Jesus said to Peter, "Put the boat further out into the deep water and let down your nets to catch some fish." "We've been fishing all night long and haven't caught a thing, but if you say so, we will let down the nets one more time," Peter answered. An amazing thing happened. When they started pulling the nets up, there were so many fish that the nets began to break, and they pulled the fish into the boat. There were so many fish that the boat was beginning to sink. When Peter and his fellow fishermen saw this, they were astonished and even a bit frightened. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." The Bible tells us that they pulled their boats up onto the shore. They left everything and followed Jesus. From that day on, Peter and his friends fished for people and brought many into God's kingdom. Jesus wants you and me to fish for people too. If we will be faithful in telling people about Jesus and his love, we can trust Jesus to bring in the catch. That's a lovely thing to think about. Dear Jesus, help us to be good fishers for people, faithful to go, following you and trusting you to bring in the catch. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Carol. That's lovely. A lovely story of how Jesus began inviting people to be his special friends, his disciples. He had lots of disciples, but he had 12 special ones, his disciples. Who were they? They came from different walks of life. Some were fishermen. One was a tax collector. Oh, I'm giving things away. But can you shout out just one? And we'll try to get all 12. Who were his 12 disciples? Peter. Simon Peter. James. John. Matthew. Andrew, if you've done one. Okay, Luke wrote a gospel, but he wasn't one of the 12 disciples.
Thomas.
Judas. Which Judas? There's a clue. Judas Iscariot, and then there was another Judas, also known as Thaddeus. So we're up to 9. James. Two Jameses. So we're up to 11. Bart, yes. Bartholomew, thank you. Right. What do you think? Really quite a mixed group, the disciples, yes? From all different walks of life. Were they very special, do you think? Did Jesus choose them because they were special men? think? Anybody? Normal. Normal. Everyday people, I think. Ordinary people. Different talents, different strengths, different weaknesses, different characters, different walks of life. Some were probably richer than others, others with a more humble beginning. But Jesus chose them. Maybe they had open hearts to respond to the call. Or maybe it was just that power of Jesus' character when he said, "Follow me," cut through to their heart. And they left their things and they followed him. For Jesus' disciples, it meant they had to leave their own lives, their old lives, and to sit at his feet, which means, that's another idiom, to listen to him, although they did it literally. They sat at their leader's feet. And devote yourself to learning his wisdom, to accept him as your leader, and as we said before, to imitate him, to share life with him for 3 years so that they could be witnesses and say, "We saw this," to his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. Why do you think Jesus had 12 special ones? As we said, he had more, but he wanted these close friends to teach, to love, and to get them ready, because one day they would need to take his message to the world. So just like us, ordinary people, Jesus is getting us ready, moving us along, developing us day by day if we submit to him, to follow him more closely, to be a disciple that can transform the world. It came at great cost to his disciples, but they trusted in God. They taught the word, and we know they did their task, didn't they? Because we're believers, because of the work that the disciples, apostles did. It grew and grew and grew, and they have turned the world upside down. And we continue on that mission, don't we? So I need a few of your ideas. What's involved for us today? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Just have a little time to think. Can you put it into a sentence in your mind? What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? What's involved for us today? What does it mean?
It means that we need to become fishers of men and to be able to stand strong in our faith.
Okay. Be fishers of men.
Be equipped to share the faith.
Tim? Hold it about 1 inch. You take it. 2 inches away.
Imitators.
10.
Imitators of Jesus.
Okay. Good. What's involved in being an imitator? I know I asked for one sentence. I don't think I meant it. What's involved in being an imitator of Jesus?
It's a follower.
1 inch away.
Right. Hello.
That's it.
Can you hear me? Sorry about the gob. It means watching someone and taking on board his teaching.
Yep.
And literally doing the same as he does.
Very good. Well said. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Hold it about 1 inch from your mouth. Or 2 inches.
Well, if you use your follow-up like Jesus, we need to love each other, because love is in the Bible. And,
okay.
And so is kind.
Okay. So connect with other believers. Take care of each other. Love each other. Very important to build our discipleship that way. What does it mean, Anna?
I think be dying to self as well, you know.
Okay.
Not always doing what your flesh wants to do, you know, but...
Very good one. Dying to self. Being transformed by him. Following, maybe abandoning our own ambitions and doing what God's will in our lives.
To be willing to change.
Okay.
And turn around from our old ways and to try to live as Jesus would.
Yeah. So let the Holy Spirit teach and develop us. How would we do that? Listening to him, studying his word.
Opening our hearts to him.
Anyone else? Something really pressing? A good one? Oh, Pastor Sat.
I think it's more of being intentional everywhere and every day and every time.
Yeah.
We talk about this again and again and again and again, but if you're not intentional in doing it, then it's just a good talk.
Yeah.
If you don't put it into practice, it's therefore that it's being intentional in doing what we have just said.
Very important. Make the time. Make the decisions. Don't just leave it to chance. Very good, Sat. Being intentional. Embracing his call to service in the kingdom and accepting his mission. I'm just looking at my list, but I think we've more or less covered all of them. Yes. Seeking his will in every day and for your life. So here's my question. Are you a follower of Jesus? Have you given your life to him? That would be the best thing that you've ever done, if you've not done it yet. For us, for those that have, it is the best thing you've ever done. Let us know if you want to do that. Get some help. We will pray for you. And for the others, a question, is it time to rededicate, to be more intentional? Submit your life and your walk to him. I encourage you to do it today, that rededication. Go to God in prayer or find a friend, a trusted friend, and pray with them. That's my encouragement to you today. Let's just pray for a minute. Lord, I thank you for your 12 disciples, your special friends. I thank you that they completed their task, their mission. They went into the whole world and preached the gospel, and we're benefiting from their commitment. Lord, bring us, teach us, lead us, and help us to grow in our mission as well. No turning back, Lord. We have decided to follow you. Amen. Now, some of us, all the disciples had different callings. Some of us might literally be called to go out into the world and preach the gospel. And we have sent out a couple, a young family, to do that. So I thought it would be a good time to have an update from them. Who are they? Batha and Alex. Can we go therefore and preach the gospel now? And we just lean into that for this week. Thank you, Lord. Help us to take all that we have learned today and apply it to our lives as you would will it. Amen. And let's say the Aaronic blessing together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.